Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. You know, every week we check in with the Super 16 poll, one of the voters, and it's a collaboration between the Football Writers Association of America and the National Football Foundation. And it's great to be joined by John Finkel, the author of Life of Dad Show. And John, we'll just start off with the big doozy. Ooh, not only do you have Notre Dame number one, Ohio State number two, Alabama three. And so let's start with that one. How did you arrive at your top three?
Yeah, so I've been doing the poll for a couple of years now, and what I decided to do a while back was, instead of trying to be the, you know, guess who at the end of the year is going to be the top four, which I think a lot of voters do, which is just kind of slot in, you know, for this particular year, the, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, and just keep some version of that until one of them lose for, you know, 3 months, basically. I like to kind of look at it as if I didn't know. You know how general feel maybe the top 10 or 12 teams are, really, does someone come out of there to be in the top three or four? So I take that kind of group and kind of forget about last year and forget about what I know and go on who I think actually has had the best wins week to week, given the sample size that we've seen. And so, you know, Notre Dame has three top 25 wins. And Ohio State, to me, their win at Penn State is probably the most impressive win of the year. I think Penn State's also a top five team, or not now because they lost, but they were. So that was how I kept those through. In Alabama, you know, the eyeball test of how they're just destroying, you know, teams that are even, you know, okay, but they still haven't played anybody really good yet. So that's kind of my philosophy on it and how I've arrived at my top three, and with putting Notre Dame number one.
You know, it's funny, you make it sound like a novel thing, but that's how I would do it too. You're telling me the that's not how most people do it?
No, I mean, if you look at almost any poll, and I'm not knocking any of the other, you know, guys who do the poll or women who do the poll or the other ones that come out, but there's this sort of, there's this fear of, like, being wrong for some reason with these, where if at the end of the year you can't look back and be like, I had Alabama, you know, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State all year, I knew it. Well, okay, but some points throughout the year, those teams definitely don't look great. Clemson has had some big wins and looked shaky at certain times. We should be watching week to week and kind of rewarding, you know, a huge win. I had LSU number one for a couple of weeks because I thought when they, you know, when they ended up beating Auburn, they beat Miami. Like they had in the short 3 or 4 game segment, 2 or 3 of the biggest wins in college football. So the idea of putting them at number six just because we think down the line they might lose to Alabama makes no sense.
Gotcha. Now, with 16, you're going to have some good teams that are left off. Who was your 17th team that you stayed up all night feeling bad that you didn't include them?
Yeah, you know, there's teams that I have, like, a soft spot for, and I don't think they even get up there, but, like, teams like South Florida, you know, where they're, you know they're undefeated. You don't know really who they're playing. I've always liked Charlie Strong, and then That's probably the one where I kind of wanted to give them a little bit of love. And I like that Colorado's kind of back. Like, I've always liked Colorado. And so I feel like those are probably the two teams where if I could just do it, and not that, again, there's no consequences to not doing it. And if they keep winning, they will. But those are kind of two undefeated teams where when you look at them and you think, I mean, there's really no reason, and there's not that much difference to put them at 14 or 15 or put them at 18. But, I'd say those two teams. There's a lot of nostalgia with Colorado, and I've always liked Strong, so I think having him up there would be cool.
You have Penn State at 9, and I like the transparency. I can see everybody else's votes. You have them ranked lower than anybody else, and the question is, why do you hate Penn State? You don't. You have them ranked 9th. But what is it about them that you felt like the UCFs and the West Virginias and Texases should be ahead of them?
So when, like I said, I love Penn State. My brother went to Penn State. I'm actually, of all the schools, probably the biggest Penn State fan of all the ones on there. But I like to see how they respond to that loss. You know, I do it week to week. There's no reason that if they have a big win next week, they won't be back up at 5, 6, or 7. But if you look at, you know, West Virginia, Georgia, Clemson, they all had pretty good solid wins this week. So, like I said, I really take it on a week to week basis. I think if there's a difference to me of, you know, doing it where, like, if your season ended now and you had to take into consideration last year when you were putting together your Cotswold playoff top four and then the Bulls and things like that, that would be one thing. But to me, it's sort of the best indicator of where they are, and coming off that super tight loss, I could put them higher. I just thought I would give a little love to some of the other teams, and if they come back strong, I could see them making it back to the top five or six easily.
Rick Tittle with John Finkel. He's an author. He's from the Life of Dad show. A couple more questions for John, as he is a Super 16 voter. Do you, when you look at the Pac-12 and, you know, Stanford for a while, they looked like they were going to do something. Washington still has a chance. But other than that, it's been a down year. We know that they went 1-8 in bowls last year as well. And I don't really buy the whole thing about how, well, the East Coast doesn't get to watch them. That might have been true in the 80s and 90s. But now you press a button on your phone, you can watch anything you want. What do you think is going on, especially like you look in Westwood with what Chip Kelly's, you know, burning UCLA to the ground right now?
Yeah. You know, the Chip Kelly thing is surprising. I think most people would be shocked if in 2 years, you know, that wasn't back to being at least a nationally ranked school every year. It's almost like, you know, Herman in Texas, where like, give him, you know, I think it's almost better if that happens in some respects, where that, you know, if they had that massive year, but the team isn't where it's supposed to be, and then there's a setback the year after. So I think he'll figure it out. He's a college guy, and I think he'll figure it all out. Yeah, Washington's still in it. I mean, Oregon only has one loss. It's just, I think after last year, maybe there's some backlash when you had Donald and you had some big-name quarterbacks out there, and they still didn't accomplish anything. And so maybe, and I'm just guessing, but the mentality might be, you know, you had two blue chippers running both of those, you know, in terms of the L.A. schools, and they didn't really make anything happen. So how are they going to do it this year? Why would we think anything different? I'm just sometimes, you know, guessing, but that seems like it'd be a logical thought if you're looking for a reason not to do that. And then also, you know, they don't look great. Washington, I think, could easily come back, and we'll see. But, yeah, there hasn't been I was in L.A. for 8 or 9 years, so I think I have a good feel for how the schools were, especially I was living there is when USC was unbeatable. So when they're good, they get the love they get. I just don't know if they're that good.
What about the Heisman? Because people will look at Alabama, obviously, and you have Tua Tagovailoa, and you've got the Ohio State quarterback and Dwayne Haskins. Any of those two seem like a lock? Anybody else a dark horse right now for you?
I think it's too early for a lock or even like a dark horse thing. You know, Bryce Love was the guy who kind of early on, you know, everybody kind of has thinks he has kind of the best chance, which probably does, especially if he, you know, I don't know where he's going to end up. But I think the issue with the Heisman is that's probably the one where it's the most kind of preconceived notion, you know, going into the season, who's supposed to get it, and it's somebody to lose, you know, whether it was Baker's last year or, you know, you knew Baker and Saquon were going to be the guys. So I think in terms of, you know, what we see right now, it's those guys you mentioned, and there definitely probably is a little bit of bias for some of those, mainly the guys who are on, I'd say rather than coast, the guys who are on really good teams end up getting seen a ton. And so that's what I'd say for that.
I know you wrote a book about Charlie Ward, and I had him on the show years ago. And he really is, I mean, we talk about Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, but if you talk about an all-around athlete, I mean, Heisman Trophy winner, won just about every award you could win, Maxwell, Camp Unitas, O'Brien, Sullivan, and all that. And then he plays over 10 years in the NBA. He got drafted by the Brewers. He was a fantastic tennis player. Of course, you already know all this. So what was the genesis behind that project?
Yeah, so I've been working with the National Football Foundation on their Football Matters campaign for a while, and I'm an author by kind of trade anyway. So one of the things I wanted to start doing with them was start writing books on their Hall of Famers, like full biographies on guys who, you know, a little time had passed and obviously were stars at one point because they're in the Hall of Fame. So my first one was on Mean Joe Green, and that was awesome. He's here in Dallas where I live, so that was a great experience to work with him. And when I was looking for the second book to do, I had always had in my head – Charlie Ward is one of my favorite athletes growing up. I saw him. I remember the exact short stories. I saw him. I grew up in New Jersey, and they used to have the kickoff classic at the Meadowlands, and I saw him play Kansas the year they ended up winning the national championship and kind of destroying Kansas. And then I kind of put it out of my head because it wasn't now. You didn't have online. You weren't kind of inundated with people. And then later in the year, I remember watching a Florida State UNC basketball game, and I was like, I remember sitting with my friends, like vividly saying, like, wait a minute, is the point guard the quarterback? Like, because that doesn't happen ever. They weren't particularly good that year, but I remember hearing the name Charlie Ward and somehow never pieced it together that he was also the guy that went to 2 Elite 8s. You know, and no one does that. He missed half a basketball season being the quarterback of a top-ranked team and then a number one team, and then going to be the point guard of a basketball team And then basically, you know, taking on the challenge of making it to the NBA after playing less than a third of what some of these guys are playing, you know, year round to go to. So it always fascinated me. The fact that he ended up playing in an NBA Finals as a starting point guard has just been amazing. So those things, you know, combined for me to still, the guys I always like to write about are the most unique, kind of fascinating once-in-a-lifetime guys, and he certainly fits that.
Last question for you. What we've seen in college basketball with the scandals and the founding of Condoleezza Rice with this board and the suspensions and maybe people going to jail. Of course, in college football, you had the Urban Meyer situation. Some people thought that he should have lost his job, or some people think it was just a slap on the wrist. Do you think college football is going to, and it's two different sports, I know that, but they're the only two revenue-producing sports. Do you think that college football looks at NCAA basketball and right now is doing everything it can to sort of get a preemptive strike and that type of thing?
Yeah, I think everybody's looking over their shoulder in both those big sports. I'm sure with the recruiting and especially with the, you know, the testimony that recently came out of the money being offered, that, you know, they all know that's going on. I think with Urban Meyer, with everything, especially when hiring guys now, I mean, you'd almost feel like every AD in the country with a major program has hired some kind of private investigator to go through their own garbage before, you know, to find something before someone else does. I think you'd almost be foolish not to with how many things come out.
All right, that is John Finkel. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at John Finkel. That's JonFinkel, the author, and, of course, from The Life of Dad Show. He is one of the pollsters in that Super 16 poll, a collaboration between the Football Writers Association of America and the National Football Foundation. John, thanks for your time and your insights. Really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll catch up down the road.
Yeah, whenever. Let me know. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a break here, and then we will come on back, and we'll finish out hour number 2 of 3. Time to get in, 1-800-878-PLAY. Come on back.